Blog Talk Radio.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Your favorite Blog Talk Radio show.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J. King Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is J. King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me are my co-host, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
Oh, yeah. Buckle your seat, y'all. Y'all in for a ride this morning. It's cold. And I'm not saying Happy New Year.
Darkwing.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to another terrific Tuesday. And yes, here in the Midwest, we're hovering around 43 degrees for the second straight day. And I'm wishing you a progressive and productive day.
Robert Redwine.
The bluest skies you ever seen are in Seattle. Good morning, America. Hello, global internet world. Oh, yeah, babe.
San Diego Simi.
Here we are once again in San Diego, where the sky is blue, the sun is shining, and it's about 85 degrees. Welcome to the place where we beat the tallywhackers, choke the chickens, moo the cows, and suck on the thumbelinas.
Very good, Simi. Lady T.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And ladies and gentlemen, coming to the microphone is an icon.
Oh, yeah.
A legend.
They call him Truckin' Lenny.
And a radio show host who needs a freak. Doom, 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 doom. He's a pimp, player, and hustler when it comes to getting his dinero.
Now you guys are competing with your weather. Who has the best weather?
No, we ain't, Daddy.
He's the Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
It's sunny here in California. Hey, it's 50 degrees here in the Midwest. So what you say about that? I say we got blue skies, baby. Blue skies and a reefer. Mwah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than our general manager.
Hey, that plane is still missing.
Our program.
Hey.
Hey, is, uh-huh. Is Sanjay Gupta a dope peddler? He's pushing that he's pushing that marijuana, Daddy.
our chief MF.
Oh, come on.
Our head honcho.
Hey.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know,
oh, yeah, baby.
Y'all got good weather in L.A., good weather in Chicago, good weather in, yeah, right here in my house, it's 110 degrees because I got the heat sky high.
Our big Willie.
You so silly.
Our somebody.
Come on, y'all. Do that, Jay.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for our... Come on, y'all. Do that, Jay. Come on. The man, Oliver Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me get this straight for everybody who don't know. When I'm doing Lynn Tolliver, you can laugh and kiki and ha-ha. You don't say nothing. Because we got a rhythm going.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Yeah.
Cool.
And we got to, and so, and once it's flowing, we got to let the whole flow happen. And we can't let the whole flow happen if everybody going to put in their 2 cents. Now everybody, it's now they competing to see who going to say something. Now the estrogen that went crazy. Robert and Lady T.
No, I'm a heterosexual dyke, King J. I'm not.
I know, but because you got a little estrogen in you because you battling with her. She laughing, you laughing. She say something, you say something.
I can't laugh. It's funny.
Of course
you
can
laugh. What do you want me to say?
No, you can laugh. It's just, I don't mind when you laugh. It's just that then you guys, now you guys are saying stuff.
King J, there's no
competition. Okay, I said one. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. None of that. None of that.
Okay.
Now, otherwise, you're going to make me put the mute on you in the middle of the, oh, yeah. You're going to be like, oh, yeah,
Hey, none of that.
That's
me. I got that, oh, yeah, so be careful with that word.
Hey, you know who,
excuse me?
Really,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
You know who's really, go ahead, Johnny.
Go ahead, Lynn.
No, you go ahead, because I ain't going to forget.
That, oh, yeah.
What about it?
I patented it.
Oh, I didn't know you patented. I've never heard. I haven't heard you say that.
I've never even heard
2.5 months since I've been on here.
Hold up.
Say that.
I remember when there was a gap in there. I remember when there was a gap in there, and I started that, and then Jay slapped me on the hand, put me on mute, and told me to shut the hell up on that.
Okay, well I didn't just get that. I didn't just get that. All I got from you was, you know, I patented that. You didn't, you know, all I said was, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I could have said it in a whole different way, but I said it once, and you on a 10?
Don't be hating on her.
You can't patent that. That's unpatentable.
See, so what is that about?
That's just somebody trying
Johnny.
To take over. You stand up for yourself, Lady T. Lynn,
I mean,
Johnny.
That was he on a 10 right now. You need to come down to a 5 because we only 7 minutes into the show.
As Johnny says, his last name is Buffer. You know, if Michael Buffer can say, hey, I got Let's Get Ready to Rumble, then I'm going to patent whatever. I'm patenting the word the word and.
But you can only do it in the Urban Dictionary.
Hey, y'all leave Lady T alone. I'm serious.
We were going to become just like jerseys on a sports team. Eventually,
hey.
We're going to run out of shit to say.
Yeah, quite the contrary.
Lady
Maybe
T
you should leave Lady T alone.
What do you mean he needs to leave Lady T alone?
Oh, yeah,
what's
baby.
Up with
Maybe
you? What side of the bed did you get up on?
Maybe he should leave Lady T alone.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Lady T, don't let them push you around. You fight back, baby. You fight back, baby.
I mean, he ain't pushing nobody
J-K's
around.
News Reel.
They ain't pushing nobody around. Justin Bieber legally changes his race to African American.
Yeah, right.
I'm the richest black man under 21, and I got all this money because my people deserve it, said Justin. After stepping out of a Canadian courtroom early Tuesday morning, Justin Bieber legally changed his race to African-American while back in Canada on arrest from a grueling tour schedule. I was just tired of all the I'm acting black comments. Now I'm not acting black because I am legally black, said Justin minutes after signing the papers, signifying his blackness. It's like being gay. You don't choose to be gay. You're born gay. I was born black. Justin Bieber, whose net worth is $160 million, is now legally the richest African-American under 21 and plans to join the United Negro College Fund Board to become one of the largest donors toward the education of African-American men and women.
Wow.
Now, how do y'all feel? Are you a believer now? Are you a believer? You know what Justin said? He said, if you're going to treat me like a nigga, I might as well.
Oh, yeah, babe.
That's great.
All right, that's a lie, y'all.
Justin Bieber
It's a lie. It's cream.
Okay.
It's one of the cream articles. But you know what's so funny?
What?
People read these articles. Somebody will read that article and believe it. But that's like
well,
they will read DMZ.
KKK kidnapped 2 Chainz in Atlanta, then demand black people return Justin Bieber.
Hair long, money long. Me and broke niggas don't get along.
He was a nice, wow, innocent white boy. Now he's a gold-wearing, pants-sagging nigger, said a KKK member who blames rappers like 2 Chainz for what he calls the blackification of singer Justin Bieber. Rapper 2 Chainz and one member of his entourage are being held hostage by the KKK organization after a rally was held in Atlanta, Georgia, Monday. See, if I was black, he would leave here with no Chainz, but that's impossible because we all know white folk don't steal, said KKK spokesperson during a negotiation with the Atlanta Police Department to retrieve the hostages held inside the state's Capitol building. With no Chainz, he'd be just like all the other black people I know, poor. Officials have avoided using lethal force thus far, but the KKK say they will not release rapper 2 Chainz unless black people return Justin Bieber in the condition he came in, white and innocent, even when proven guilty.
What Caucasian camp have they been on?
No, they said that white people are innocent,
white people
even
still
when they're proven guilty.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. They're saying white people are innocent even when they're proven guilty.
We can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, now those were 2 jokes, obviously. That's from Cream, which is a site that does, but this is really Justin Bieber. This is Justin Bieber in a full deposition from a case that he's dealing with. And so this is about a 6-minute video. Check it out, you guys.
Okay, when I asked you, why don't you listen to what I had to say first? And then maybe you'll tell me yes.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
Clear my question.
Today,
if you have a question about my question,
today
I do have the right to be
over.
Clear for you to be able to be
Mr.
clear.
You're
not being in Australia ever?
I don't know if I've been to Australia. Been to Australia?
Are you aware that Scooter Braun knows that your bodyguards have attacked photographers?
What objection? To form.
What kind of question is that? That doesn't make sense.
Correct.
That doesn't make sense. That's a weird question. That doesn't make sense.
Can you just ask some foundation? I didn't hear your response.
I didn't finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Really? You didn't want to interrupt.
Is it true that you know that your security guards will punch, grab, and push paps if they need to?
I object.
Would you please look at the film that's up there?
Good, sir. This is a film?
Pause. Would you please watch the television?
You said it's a film. You said watch the film. Is this a film?
Is there a difference between a film and something else?
Yes.
To yes or no answer required, right?
My lawyer is asking a question.
Please, sir.
My lawyer is asking a question.
I'm not here to answer his questions. You're here to answer mine. Have you ever disciplined Mr. Hesley?
Disciplined? What kind of question is that? Is he my son? Guess what?
I don't recall.
Am I going on the video record, or
is
that Selena Gomez?
Yes.
You be dating her at some point in time?
What's the relevance of that? Why are you asking that question?
Because I'm allowed to ask.
No, you're not allowed to.
Absolutely. Ask it.
What are you talking about?
I don't think you're trying to harass him.
Be a lawyer, man.
Stop making
journalism. This isn't journalism.
What is the relevance? What's your pro?
Have you ever...
What's your
if you have an objection, state your objection.
What's your pro offer of relevance on that?
Sir, have you ever talked with Selena Gomez, my discussion of feelings about paparazzi?
Don't ask me about her again.
Sir,
no,
on to another.
Have you ever? Don't ask me about her again.
Have you ever?
Don't ask me about her again. Don't ask me about her again.
You don't need to argue with the witness. You want to state your question again?
Is there anything funny in my question? This is why you were asked.
Well, what is your question? Should we have it read back?
Well, I don't know, Katie Couric, you tell me.
Are you calling me Katie Couric?
No.
Is this a news interview for you? It's not. It's your deposition. Do you understand that?
Yes. But I see what you're doing.
Have you ever spoken with Scooter Braun regarding photographers who want to take a picture of him?
Asked and answered several times.
He didn't hear that.
That was definitely asked before that question was
asked. What was your answer? Please. Remind me of your answer.
No. It seems like a 16-minute interview.
Do you know Raymond Usher the Fourth?
No.
You know an individual entertainer by the name of Usher?
Yeah. Usher. That sounds familiar.
Isn't it true that Usher was instrumental in starting your career?
What does that have to do with this litigation, Mr. DeKalb? This is just you trying to harass the client.
Before we came back here, you'd ask me.
She's going to
let her read back the question. Thank you for your memory.
On YouTube, I think that I was detrimental to my own career.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you at all. I'm sitting right next to you.
So I think I was instrumental to my own career.
Well, let me hear back from the full report.
Make any difference whether Usher is giving him career advice?
You know, this is where it gets to be crazy for me. First of all, I know a lot of people think that Usher, you know, is an ass and all. I mean, not Usher, but Justin Bieber is an asshole and all this stuff. Justin Bieber is an 18-year-old kid with a lot of money. Okay.
Right.
Justin Bieber is an 18-year-old kid acting out the same way my son probably acted out when he was 18, the same way your son probably acted out when he was 18.
Yeah.
The same way we probably acted out when we were 18. It's a lot of pressure to be in this business. And I think people forget that. And, you know, so let me tell you guys why they're doing a deposition on him.
Okay.
Because a photographer claims he was assaulted by one of his bodyguards. Now, I know these photographers. You guys know these photographers. You've seen them when you see, you know, people walking down the street. Some of these photographers need to get assaulted. need to get a real good ass whooping. Now, personally, if it was me, I wouldn't have done nothing at that time. I'd have waited. I would have waited to one of his off times when he wasn't working. And I'd have somebody bump into him, say something to him, and beat the holy hell out of him. See, there's a way, there's a right way to do it.
And
there's a right
that
way
would
to
be
get
me. That would be me.
Well, and I don't know if that would be you, but I know it would happen. It would go down. I know that I would get my joy out of it. But these photographers are disrespectful. They're dangerous. People forget about what happened to Princess Di already. They don't respect people's space. So this kid has to take a deposition because some asshole paparazzi dude got beat down because they probably told him to move, probably told him to get out the way. And he probably said, I can take pictures right here. I can do because that ass whooping came up on him. So, you know, if I was Justin Bieber, I might, you know, at 20, I might do the same thing. As a matter of fact, I was involved in a situation where, you know, where I could have gone to prison for a situation I was involved in. And I wasn't the nicest guy, and my thing is more serious than this. So I really hope, I hope you all understand that, you know, Justin Bieber is an 18-year-old kid whose life is unraveling in front of him, who really is growing into the celebrity, because this is going to be an interesting time for him, Lynn, because he's not a kid anymore. Now he's a young adult. And this is the time where either your career take off. I don't know if you guys remember the awkward years for Michael Jackson. Remember that, Lynn? When the Jackson 5.
Refresh my memory.
You know, when they had Dancing Machine, the Jackson 5 had Dancing Machine and all that stuff, but they didn't have any really big records. You know, they were no longer pop records. They were just R&B records.
Yeah, you're talking about prior to CBS signing King Jay?
No, with the CBS, you know, Dance Machine, even, you know, the Enjoy Yourself and all that stuff wasn't big records. They were platinum albums for the Jackson, but they weren't the big albums that they thought that, you know, that the deal thought they would be. When they did the deal with CBS, they were looking for the multi-platinum records, and they just weren't coming. They weren't as big as they thought they would be. And it wasn't until Michael Jackson found himself as Michael Jackson that the next level, when he did the Off the Wall album, that what they were looking for cashed in. But those were awkward years for the Jacksons, you know, where they didn't really tour. They, you know, they were playing mostly to a black audience. You know, they, you know, what Barry thought he built for them wasn't there anymore because they weren't kids.
Was that when Tito stole those TVs? I mean, was it during that period of time?
Did
you know,
Tito
because
steal
what?
TV?
Yeah,
TV?
Yeah. You know, it that would be in comparison to what Justin Bieber's doing now.
Yeah. If that, you know, because it's a tough transition. It's a tough transition to go from being an artist that has hit records to just being, you know, just normal.
Mediocre, now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people egg you on. They say, hey, man, y'all ain't shit no more. You know, you can't imagine what you're going through because
man,
a lot
happened?
Of people are jealous.
Or somebody see you and go, what happened? What happened to you guys? You guys were so – if you don't have a real good understanding of self, if you're not real comfortable with your own self, that kind of thing can get to your head. If you do any kind of drugs or, you know, to take that pressure off you, you know, this whole thing can get pressure filled.
Crash
and
crumble.
I never cared about what people thought about me. I never cared about what people thought about me or my music or nothing. It never bothered me. So I don't give a damn. Today, I don't give a damn. I never made music for people to like it or not. I made it because I liked it. But everybody didn't have Helen. That's the thing I appreciate most about her. Helen was just her own person. She was her own strong person, and she didn't give a damn. She was like, I don't care if you like me. She's like, I don't care if that hubby liked me or not. She better not come up in my face saying nothing.
Hubby.
She'll call somebody a hubby in a minute.
Hubby. A hubby.
She said, keep that hubby off this block.
Hubby alert. Hubby alert.
Warning.
Hubby alert. Hubby alert.
I slapped that hubby in her face. She bet not even look at me wrong. Helen was not. Listen, Helen was cool, but she wasn't nothing to be fooling with. 5 foot and 1.5 inches tall. And everybody, 1.5 inch tall. Everybody knew not to fool with Helen.
Not to do what?
Not to fool. You see how I caught myself?
Hey, didn't the Marvelettes do a song about your mother? Don't fuck with Helen.
No. I mean, people that know my mom will tell you, any of her friends will say, yeah, Helen will fight. Helen will fight. But I just think that this kid, that they're doing too much to Justin Bieber now. And, you know, the cold part about this industry is, you know, they'll build you up and they'll tear you down. And they'll do both of them with a smile on their face if you let them.
Right.
But if you don't care, what they hate is the fact that you don't care. It's
right.
Only valuable to them if you care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't care, it ain't valuable to them.
Well, what would you suggest he do at this point?
I mean, first of all, if I was Justin, the deposition, I would be serious about it. I would take, because this is a deposition that that people are going to, they're going to see it. They're going to watch him, and these are people that could possibly, either be for him or against him. And,
here's what I do, Jay. Here's what I do. I get on the horn, look up Chicago, find Donald Grammer, and let him teach me how to talk.
Yes, Donald. Incidentally, that was a very, very good show last night.
Thank you. But, Lynn, last night, Lee Michaels,
uh-huh.
Michael Cooper, Gary Taylor,
yeah,
we did a show on are black artists being phased out of urban music.
That's a good title.
It was an interesting show because, we talked about, we didn't really get into Macklemore. In the beginning, I spoke about Macklemore winning album of the rap album of the year, spoke about, Blurred Lines being the biggest selling R&B record of the year. Single, talked about Justin Timberlake winning Album of the Year, Urban R&B Album of the Year, and not one black artist topped the pop charts last year. And it's the first time in the 55-year history of Billboard magazine that this happened.
King
and
J,
not one black artist.
I wanted to ask you a question, King J, as it related to that. Do you think the major conglomerates and the music executives and corporation have some type of thing where they're trying to dumb down our music and the face of the music? A conspiracy?
What do you mean in the face of the music?
Well, I mean, you got two. You just said two white guys, which was Justin on the R&B side, and you got Macklemore.
I said three white guys.
Or three white guys. So that's the face, And then you look at the music taste, it's not real soul. Real, you know, it's not that vibration that we're used to from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
right?
but we have, you know, we're so busy chasing the pop ball. Maybe part of it has to do with us, too. Everybody wants to be a pop artist, you know. A lot of the music that the black artists are doing that are the front runners is electronica or electronica-based music. So, you know, the producers that, you know, and what people won't say is that the producers that are producing these tracks are black producers. You know,
right.
That are creating this music, you know, Pharrell. And it's obvious, it should be obvious to everyone that Pharrell has raided the vaults of Motown, because if you listen to the song Happy,
right,
it's fingertips. Clap your hand just a little bit louder, don't you? I mean, you know, he just, and I'm not, when I say it's fingertips, I mean the feel of it is where he's obviously taking it from. So what he's doing is he's listening to the Motown, and, you know, didn't everybody know Blurred Lines was Got to Give It Up? So what
right.
he's doing, and so Robin Thicke get the, you know, everybody put it on Robin Thicke, but Pharrell's the producer. Pharrell
yeah.
is the guy that's creating the music. He's not just the producer of the song. He's the composer of the music. So the musical bed that Robin Thicke is doing his thing over was composed by Pharrell.
Yeah.
But Pharrell didn't get no parts of that. Robin Thicke took the whole brunt of that head on.
Good point.
You know, so everybody blame it on Robin. But it's really Pharrell. You listen to Justin Timberlake, people say Justin Timberlake trying to sound black. But, I mean, you know, look who's producing Justin Timberlake.
Who?
Pharrell.
Who did Macklemore and Lewis?
Ryan
Lewis is the producer for Macklemore.
No, that's not who's producing. Pharrell is not producing Justin Timberlake. It's Timberland.
That's right.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. See, Robert, you know, Jay was talking about Pharrell and Robin Thicke, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about Pharrell and Happy, his own little piece. And then when I asked who did the other guy, Justin Timberlake, you said Pharrell. You know, you do that all the time. You try to, like, clack in, you know. And I'm not saying that you don't have the knowledge of music, you know, from the experience, the little teeny weeny Tiny Tim experience that I've had with you.
That's okay. Let them shoot their best shot. But Lion, you
yeah.
know, that was a Freudian slip.
He's
clip,
not
but,
done.
But
he's still talking.
Okay.
He's still talking.
Dyer. I know who you like.
You know, this is what happens. You like to, you know, this is what I feel. You know, you don't hear Simi trying to, like, say, oh, yeah, that was Mutt and Jeff. You know, you don't hear, you know, Johnny Davis saying, hey, for sure, dude, it was, you know, the Beach Boys. You know, you don't hear anybody trying to, like, get that. They just be who they are. Well, maybe
that's
who you are.
And I'm being who I am, Brian.
And maybe that's what I said. Maybe you're being who you are and you're, like, making a fool out of yourself. How about that?
Well, that's according to you, sir. I'm going to go to HR on you.
Okay, HR.
Human resources.
Human resources. Can I help you, Robert?
This is a dictatorship.
Check this out, Robert.
Okay.
You know, you said Pharrell as if you knew who it was.
I forgot that Timberland produced. He did produce Robin Thicke. Ryan Lewis produces Macklemore.
No, he did not. Timberland did not produce Ryan. No,
I said Ryan Lewis produced Macklemore. Timberland produced.
No, hold it. First of all,
I mean,
you said I forgot
what's his name?
That
Justin Timberlake.
Robin Thicke is what you just said.
Well, I meant to say Timberlake. Another Freudian slip, okay? My bad. I knew what I wanted to say. I didn't say it.
See, I think
Another Julio slip.
You know, I think what you should do is, like, when you absolutely know that two and two are four, yell out four. You know, if you absolutely know that Justin Timberlake was produced by Timberland,
yeah.
yell out Timberland. Don't yell out Pharrell. It's like this. Who produced Justin Timberlake? Pat Boone! Pat Boone! you might as well just pick any name. Who produced Justin Timberlake? Denzel Washington!
Ryan, I really do know who produced all those artists. I just made a Freudian slip.
Well,
is Ryan Lewis black?
No, Ryan Lewis is white, King J. To the contrary, he's white.
That was a test.
First of all, Kendrick Lamar.
Thank you, Lady T.
Kendrick Lamar had the best rap album, and everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows it. Kendrick Lamar had the best rap album, and Macklemore knew it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was embarrassed to take it.
Hmm.
But you have an academy in NARIS that is ran by primarily white people.
Won't be the first time. Won't be the last time.
Because black artists don't sign up to be a member of NARIS.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do sign up, they don't vote. Robert, are you a member of NARIS?
I used to be. I'm not now.
Did you ever vote?
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to find out if you're telling the truth or not.
King J, I don't remember yesterday, so I don't remember the details of it, but I remember one year.
I'm not asking for how much does it cost to be a member of NARIS.
I don't remember because what's her name that helped, had the group to buy Death Row Records? She was the president in Seattle of NARIS at the time.
Why don't you do this, Robert? When Jay says, are you a member of that group, say, like, Pharrell. Just say, you know, you might as well say Pharrell.
Lion, you got the devil in your butt. I said I used to be a member of NARIS.
When were you a member? What year were you a member?
It was in the 90s.
Pharrell, that's the answer. What year? Pharrell.
I did a one-year membership, King J. I used to get all their books and materials and stuff. You know, once you sign up, they send you all this stuff all the time.
They don't send you no books.
Well, they do. They tell you about the academy and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you're talking about the little. Let me ask you. Okay, so Robert.
Uh-huh.
So what did you have to do to sign up?
King J, I told you, I don't remember in detail. It was I don't remember a couple days ago sometimes. But
call Pharrell.
But I did sign up for your law lobby. Was the president of the Seattle chapter.
I had to call Pharrell. They told me when I signed up, get Pharrell on the phone and he'll tell you everything.
And now that what you're bringing to light, King J, I should have been more active at it because, like you said, a lot of black people don't get involved and don't vote, and that's why we have these faces winning the awards.
Kevin Marbury said, Jay's point about Happy is true. I sang, played, was walked on and off the stage to Fingertips for the 1983 USAF ALLC Tops in Blue Tour competition for 3 months. Tops in Blue are the top entertainers in the Air Force. They have a competition, and then after the competition, they actually tour around the country, around the world, performing for the troops. He said, our showcase band and show also did MJ Moonwalk hits at home. I got the loudest and longest applause. The crowd loves Happy music. Every base commander offered me a new job working for them and told me they knew I just made captain. 3 February 83. Everyone said they really thought I was a little Stevie Wonder. So Kevin Marbury was thank you, Kevin, for your service, by the way, sir. And Happy is, and you know what, and listen, I'm not saying that him taking those songs and making new songs out of them is a bad thing, because I got to be honest with you, if you guys hear For My Love is We've Only Just Begun. You know, I mean, that's where I took it from. We've only just begun to live, but you can't hear it in the song. Because I just take the chords and I kind of move them around and I kind of play with them a little bit and I write my own melody to them. And I always start off songs with similar melodies. I just do because, especially if it's something that I'm working on a new song right now. I don't know what it's going to be called. I started working on the melody And the melody kind of felt like Georgie Porgy a little bit. But when I'm done with it, it won't. but that's where I started from because it's all, because sometimes you need a starting point. It's not a big deal. So when I listen to, you know, Pharrell, and I love the song Happy by Pharrell. I think it's a great song. But the bottom line is he's in the vault of Motown listening to music, and it ain't nothing wrong with it.
Hey, Jay, is the name of your song Huzzy? You know, Georgie Porgy.
No, Huzzy.
You know, Jay, I enjoy it when some of the new artists show their appreciation for some of the music, you know, from the past, especially from the 70s and, you know, part of the 80s, because that's when music was really rich. We had real good bands then and good vocals and things of that nature. And to listen to some of the newer artists of today, you know, pay homage to the music from that particular time frame, that era, I think is a major tribute to them, and it unites the generation. It's a collaboration
right.
of the generations, and I think that's the best part about it.
I like that, the collaboration of the generations. I like that, but, you know, the deal is this, though. What I don't like is, like, even as it relates to Blurred Lines, right?
Yeah.
Even though what Pharrell did is new in the sense that he doesn't have to give, the estate of Marvin Gaye anything, it would have been cool if before they released that record, they would have went to the estate and said, listen, you know, we listened to your record. You know, it feels a little like got to give it up. We want to give you 25% of this song. Because the bottom line is, up until 1978, if you were a songwriter, you got a penny. You had to split a penny for a song.
You had to split
as
it?
As a writer, a split a penny. And if you were a publisher, you had to split a penny. So writing and publishing up until 1978 only played 2 cents. 1 cent to the writers, 1 cent to the publishers. So if me, Lynn, and Robert wrote a song, it wouldn't go anywhere. So me and Lynn would kick Robert out of the song, and maybe we bring Lady T into the song. Now
the song
is a hit. But me, Lynn, and Lady T now have to split that penny in thirds. So for every record we sell, we get 33.3333 points of a penny.
We get a pence.
We get a little more than a third. We get a third of the penny. We get a third of a penny. So in order for us to make a whole penny, we got to sell 3 records. And the same with a publisher. So when Fingertips was written, that's what they were making. But today, if somebody does Fingertips, now you're split. Now it's 9.1 cents. 4.55 cents for the publishers, 4.55 cents for the writers. And if you happen to be a writer and publisher, you get the whole thing. So the money, as you can tell, it's just a lot bigger. Where back then, if you sold 1 million records, each song was worth $10,000 for the writer and $10,000 for the publisher, or $20,000 overall. Today, if you sell 1 million records, each song is worth $45,500 for the writers, $45,500 for the publishers, $91,000 for them together. So it's a significant difference. So, you know, if they're going to pay homage to them, I don't mind. But pay them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get them paid.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to show your love for me, show me, you know, make sure my pocketbook feel a little good about it. You know? Don't just kiss me on my lips after you done put your pee-pee in me and then leave a little piece of candy on the pillow so my breath will smell good.
Pee-pee in me.
Hey, notice, Jay, only the women responded.
Robert,
to be honest, man, I kind of found that... found humor in that as well.
Donald, thank you, Donald.
You won't get any reaction out of me, but I found humor.
Yes. I found humor, yes.
You know, and you know what's so funny? I love Donald. Donald Grammer said, actually, I found a little humor in that also.
Yes, your presence. Yes, your presence.
I personally did a little chuckle myself. Joe Lee, what are you doing listening to Kings in the Morning? Joe? Maybe he didn't do it on purpose. You know, sometimes a blog talk will put you in. Joe, if you did do it, take yourself off mute.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm here. You guys are hilarious.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I needed to get my day going with some laughs, and I knew right where to come this morning.
Yeah, if you knew Robert was going to have hey, Lynn, did you see, did anybody see what I posted on Facebook for Kings in the Morning with the little midget lady?
And I
wanted to put Robert Redwine's face. She's got on she's a dancer.
Okay.
So she's got on a pink top and some panties. Lynn, if you can find that and put Robert Redwine's face on there, man, that would be funny, man. I'll post that up again for one of our shows.
KJ, you have a shovel on your butt.
Yeah, she was
twerking.
Yeah, she's.
I posted this picture yesterday, video of a guy in Malaysia that had been. He was in Singapore. He had been drunk driving in Singapore, and they convicted him of drunk driving and gave him 10 cane lashes. So they had posted the lash on video and had it on YouTube yesterday. It was on Facebook. And my youngest son, who always talks about, you know, the one or two ass-whoopings he got when he was a kid, I showed him that video. I said, now, this is an ass-whooping. Cause they were
okay. Okay. Okay.
They put their cane on that. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't want to drink no more. They came in, man. I'm going to tell you something. And they was careful with it. You know, they strapped him in and they put this thing on his back so only his booty cheeks were showing. And, man, look at this man came wax with that cane. And I'm going to tell you something. I would never drink on his behalf.
Wow.
My son,
wow.
He couldn't watch it. He was like, Dad, why are you watching this?
You can live and learn.
That's an asshole right there. You never
hey there, Mr. Booty.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah.
That's a good story. We gotta bring life back to the show.
Jay King's News Reel.
Woman dumped by boyfriend after he won $338 million drops her lawsuit. A New Jersey woman is dropping her lawsuit against her ex-boyfriend of 10 years who won $338 million in the Powerball lottery, then dumped her. Inez Sanchez, ex-girlfriend of lottery winner Pedro Quezada, dropped her lawsuit in state superior court on Friday. Even though the two were never married, they had a child together, lived together for over a decade, and owned a grocery store together. When Quezada claimed his lottery winning, Sanchez was by his side, but it didn't take long for him to have a change of heart. It turns out Quezada's ex-girlfriend isn't the only person complaining about how he's changed since winning the Powerball. Quezada's landlord says he hasn't paid $725,000 in rent he owes. And neighbors of the mega lottery winner say he promised to pay their rent, but never made good on that promise. It doesn't get any lower than that. Landlord Kuchtim Suleimani, 47, told Mail Online when discussing the $725 in rent that Quezada allegedly skipped out on. He won the lotto and he moved out. He didn't even pay his own rent. Forget about the rest of them. Quezada took the lump sum option of $152 million. And according to Sanchez, $57 million of that is already gone because Quezada sent that back home to the Dominican Republic. I would just want him to give the money to his common-law wife and kids, says Sula Jamani. The $800 doesn't matter to me. I hope he gives it to his wife because she really deserves it. He got lucky, and it would have been a good act to pay the rent. He promised the whole street, but he never followed through. Let me ask you guys a question. Now, do you think he was just waiting to the day something good would happen for him, and he was always saying, "I'm gonna leave this bitch. She make me sick." All of this.
You better do this. You better do that. You better do this. You better do that.
And then as soon as he was able to, he just walked out on her. Or do you think that he's just a little prick that just got that just turned into who he already was on the inside?
Well, King J, I'll take that one first. I think he was settling during the relationship, but I don't think that's good taste in letting her go when he got the money. If he rolled with her when they were struggling, he should have stayed with her when he got his money.
At least taking care of her financially. At least made sure she was good.
Right.
He was a prick, and they weren't getting along anyway. That's what made it so easy for him to get the hell out of there. You know, that was just an excuse for him to do what he do. And he got out of there. They were having problems before he split. If I hit this, I'm leaving her ass. I'm out of here.
Well, even if he decided to leave her, I still think, you know, as Jay said, he should have took care of her financially. I mean, that's enough money for you to, you know, do whatever it is you want to do and take care of everybody that you need to take care of.
Well, that's the politically right thing to do and the thing that people, you know, you should do as a person and a human being. But, you know, I mean, in all reality, does you really owe her that money he got lucky on? I don't think
so. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he owed her the money.
I don't think he owes her that money he got lucky on.
Of course he does. Because that's his wife. Because he's 10 years with her. He's got a kid with her. You're damn straight he owe her something.
Okay, so how much do you think he should give her?
Half.
I don't know. Hold on.
I don't know about half. I don't know if she's gonna get half.
I think, listen, me and you ain't that cool already. You know that I agree with you, Simi, in the fact that they probably had funk happening already. So they're probably on the out whether he won the Powerball or not. Now, I don't know if he should give her half, but you know what? You got $152 million. You give her 10, and to me, that's good. You know, because, listen, he's already paid the taxes. He took $338 million over a period of time, $152 million. So $152 million, so you figure 50% of that is going to taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So at least $76 million, right?
That's after taxes, isn't it? When you take the payout, they pay you. That's
no.
After your taxes. You end up
no, no,
payout.
No, no.
You don't
no.
pay taxes on the remainder, do you?
Of course you do. Because you either get the $338 million over time, or you get $152 million buyout. So if I give you the $152 million right now, you got to pay taxes on that $152 million. The same way you'd have to. So all a buyout does is give you the money at one time. And you got to pay taxes on it. You got to pay taxes on any money you get. So 50% of that is going to the tax man, and you write the check. Now you got $76 million. You give her 10%, 15%. I give her $10 million because you got enough money to live for the rest of your life.
Right.
And now, you know what? Now she got enough money to live for the rest of her life.
Exactly. You might give her a heart attack just giving her the money. So
Well, I think she should have took his butt to court and sued him because money is a matter.
Well, she did. Did you? Okay, maybe
yes,
you didn't hear the story.
I hear she dropped a case.
So this is what happened. She dropped a lawsuit because he gave her some money.
Right.
Right. That's what happened. Now, whether they say it here or not, you don't just drop the lawsuit unless, hey, you know what, here's $2 million, you know, whatever. So whatever she get is a come up because whatever, and you know what? Most of the people that end up, that I don't care how much money they win, most of the people that win money in a lottery end up broke. I think it's 99% of them or 95% of them or something actually end up broke, no matter how much money they win. Because, you know, having money, you know, once you spend it, it's gone. So if you, let's say you had $100 million and you go out and you buy a house for $20 million. So you know, you don't want no payments on it. You write the check for $20 million. That $20 million is gone. So you say, well, no, he sunk it into the house. Well, you know what? You still got property tax on that house that you got to pay every year. You still got maintenance costs on that house. The maintenance is probably as much as, on a $20 million house, the maintenance is as much as the note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have outgoing, so you're still spending money on a house that you just bought. And you're going to spend that money as long as you're living in the house. And because you're not teaching your money how to grow, you're not teaching your money how to build. You're not teaching your money anything because you don't know anything about the money you got. You're just spending. And before you know it, you know, it's over with. And you look around and, you know, and it's so funny, people who have money before and then they lose and they lose the money and then, you know, and they was assy when they had the cash. You know, then they get into this real meek demeanor. I'm sorry. I know I was wrong. You didn't know what to do. You know, and they want sympathy. Don't come on my shoulder. Don't come to me looking for it.
Lay your head on my
shoulder. I'm going to tell you why. Because I know a scorpion when I see one.
Uh-oh.
So when people, you know, people act, well, because what's going to happen is this. If they get another shot and they get some more money, you know what they're going to do?
Same thing again.
They'll turn right back into it again.
You know, money's a magnet.
Turn right back into it again.
I know a lot of friends of mine, and there's one in particular that really impresses me because every time we go out together and there's anybody remotely that's hungry, this man will pull money out of his pocket and feed anybody. That, to me, is just character. Your money is a light. It'll enhance whatever you are. If you're a loving person that cares about people and really has good intention, you'll be more caring and more good, well-intentioned. If you're an asshole and a wretch and a miserable wretch, you're going to be more of an asshole and more of a miserable wretch. That's what money does.
Well,
so
you know,
I just think that the guy's a piece of crap. You know, you run off on your family with $150 million, send $50 million out of the country and then leave your woman and your friends hanging, people that stuck up for you when you didn't have no money. The guy's a piece of crap.
I have a miserable wretch.
I have a friend that has a lot of money like that too, and he'd take money out of his pocket. He'd go to restaurants and, you know, buy people, you know, pay for everybody in the restaurant's dinner. You know, if he sees somebody on the street, he'd give them like, you know, $400 or $500 at a time, passing money like, you know, it ain't shit. But you know what? He's still an asshole. He's an asshole.
Why? Because he ain't giving you nothing.
He's an asshole that gives people money. He's still an asshole.
What's his name?
So I don't think the money, by him giving the money out to people, that doesn't make you a good person. You know,
right?
That's because you got the money to give.
What's your friend name? Because anybody that's giving somebody $400 or $500, if he can,
yeah,
maybe he's
my friend.
You know,
You want me to mention his name?
No,
yeah.
Just the initials.
Huh?
Just the initials.
He's a comedian.
Bob Hope?
Give him up.
Is it Bob Hope?
Yeah. Give him up.
Give him up.
Burn him loose. Ding.
I told you it was. I mean,
Jimmy
you said
Collins.
It was.
Nah, I didn't say
you know?
It was. I'm asking. You talking
well,
you about? Are you talking
who
about?
It is.
Are you talking,
you
are you talking about?
Who it was.
I know who he's talking about. He's talking about that boy, the little bitty boy.
Right.
The little dude.
I'm going.
Kevin Hart.
No, the little bitty boy. With the perm. The boy with the perm.
Oh.
The boy that told Robert. Hey, get that boy from backstage here.
What's the boy that got you from backstage, Robert?
Cat William.
Yeah, you know, some people, you know, it ain't just a...
Did he do something to you, Simi?
No. I mean, you know, it wasn't, you know, I love him to this day. You know?
Well, I'd hate to see if you hated him.
A straight up asshole, period.
If you hated him.
And he would go out and he would he'd spend up to like, you know, maybe five G's a day, just giving money away and buying people dinner and shit, you know, all of that. But at the end of the day, that assholiness would come out.
Well, the bottom line is this right here, you know, when you start, you know, some people do it for ego, for their own ego, you know, and a lot of people, I know people that give money to people that don't talk about it. You know, that you know, you'll never, that they're understated with it because it ain't important for everybody to know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, I mean, that's the one thing I really like about Alan Warren. Alan Warren has done a lot of stuff in our community, even before he ran for council, city council. He did done a lot of stuff in the community that people never knew about. You know, he donated the land where the Urban League is built in Del Paso Heights, and then he built the building. You know, when our football team, when the Grant High School football team needed uniforms, he paid for them. He's done a lot of things in the community that people don't know about. You know, he's given a lot to the community that people don't know about. And you know, and he don't want people to know about it. You know, he's not going out. He's not saying it. You know, it ain't important for people to say it for him. And when you do something from a genuine place, it's not important for people to know. Because that's not why you do it. Mr. DOW has to leave. Mr. DOW, you have a show tonight, right? Tonight on right here?
Yes, sir. That's correct. It's the Love and Happiness Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, and that's 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our topic tonight will include, we'll talk about approximately 20 things you can do to make yourself and others around you happy. So that's something to tune in.
Robert, you might want to tune into that for the others part. You know, 20 things you can do to make people around you happy.
Absolutely. We're going to have a real nice time. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you guys tomorrow, and I'll talk with you tomorrow and hear you tomorrow. So enjoy the rest of the show, everybody.
Okay. All right, you guys, so that's the Love and Happiness Show tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The topic includes making yourself and others happy. Robert, being with you, I'm not happy. Learn how to make me happy.
He's somewhere making himself happy right now.
Okay.
Life's a blessing. I'm so glad now I realize that. Joys that life may bring. I'm so glad I realized.
my head high, oh, higher than the clouds above.
Oh, it feels like I'm walking on air. When I'm with you, you know I don't care what people may say behind my back. Put on a rose colored glasses, I've been so bad. I count my blessings one by one. When the day is done,
blessings coming my way, so I've got to keep on believing and dreaming and seize the day. Lately I feel like, yeah,
my favorite song, I can't go wrong,
embracing the wings of time and knowing everything will be fine.
Well, it feels like heaven on earth because of you. Now I know my
Robert, you used to be. The Robert I know didn't wear T-shirt and panties.
New World Order. New World Order.
What's wrong with a guy wearing panties?
A lot, Robert. There's a lot with a dude wearing panties.
Oh,
New World Order. New World Order, Bob.
Now, who's got the noise in the background? Who's driving?
Ah, that's me, man.
Who is that?
I'm on my way up there, man, and it's just I've been putting myself on mute. I'm back on mute, man. I'm in the car.
Yeah.
All right, later.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Hey, man, that's me, baby. I've been driving.
Hey,
but Liz,
you hear him? You know, he said that's me. Then he cusses. He gets a little cuss word in before he hangs up. Before he puts the cell on.
Yeah, man, that's me, man. I thought I'd say to hell with y'all and just get that worry noise in the background while I'm driving. I don't give a shit about y'all. Yeah. See, because here's the thing. They don't hear it.
You know? No, you're right. They don't hear it.
They don't hear it.
They don't hear it. But you know that he heard enough that he know the noise is behind him. He put his cell phone mute. He heard that.
Jay King's News Reel.
Father finds his 11-year-old daughter living with 30-year-old sexual predator she met on Facebook. An Ohio father's worst nightmare came to life after he discovered his 11-year-old daughter living with a 30-year-old sexual predator. According to reports by the Chronicle-Telegram, an 11-year-old girl from Lorain, Ohio, was reported missing on February 19th. Police and family members searched for the young girl, but her whereabouts remained unknown for 2 weeks. However, the girl's father continued to search for her around the city. On March 1st, the father spotted his daughter leaving a house and getting into Chris Sims' 30-year-old car. This is so dumb. They said getting into Chris Sims' 30 car. Why would they put him 30? That don't make no sense. They should say getting into 30-year-old Chris Sims' car at 1 a.m. The young girl's father followed the car and called police. 30 minutes later, the police found the father's foot planted firmly in Sims' ass.
That's not true.
I just made that up. 30 minutes later, the police stopped Sims and found the 11-year-old girl sitting in his back seat. After taking Sims into custody, the girl revealed details of her relationship with Sims. The girl told authorities she met Sims on Facebook and the two met face-to-face on February 19th. The girl eventually began living with Sims and the two engaged in sex on February 26th. Sims was indicted for raping a minor in 2010, but charges were reduced to gross sexual imposition. Sims is awaiting sentencing on that case and is currently being held for $1 million for having sex with an 11-year-old girl.
Disgusting and despicable.
Sad. Just sad.
That is. I saw that yesterday, and I didn't even want to go further with it.
Yeah, it's just, well, you got to go further with it.
Right.
I just came up on the site, Lynn. Here are some more criminal behaviors. Now, this is, you guys pick one from these, and then I got some other good ones to pick from, too. So, school principal charged in child sexual scandal, another stand-your-ground killing, teen kills friend who was upset over sexual remarks about his sister. Say what? Mother beats the crap out of daughter with a used diaper. Which would you guys prefer to hear?
The one about the sister for me, King J.
I like the one about the principal.
Anybody else care to chime in? Since that's more.
The one about the principal is cool.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else want to chime in?
Was it the principal?
Lynn Tolliver. Yeah, Lynn Tolliver. Which one would you like?
I'm gonna go with the flow, bro. You know what? I'm gonna go with the flow, bro. any one of them would be good for me. You know, not that they'd be good for me, you know, not in that sense, but, you know, a pedophile I am not.
You gotta love him, man. You just gotta love him. The flow, bro.
Well, actually, The one with the diaper. I did read that, and it's not as bad as it sounds.
It's not as bad as it sounds?
No.
Hey, Donna, why did you say that? Do you have a diaper underneath your trench coat?
No, Robert, because he just said he just read it, dummy.
Oh, okay. King of me.
You always want,
me.
You know what? Yeah, because you don't listen. All right, so now we're between... So it's the principal or the guy who kills his friend over remarks about his sister. You guys want the principal? the school principal charging sex
about his sister. Remarks about his sister. Because it's his brother standing up for his sister. I want to hear about this.
Oh, yeah, babe.
All right. So,
please.
What happened? Okay. So, two teenagers' lives are ruined over an altercation that went too far. According to a report by KETV in Omaha, Nebraska, Dominique Holly, 17, was killed by his friend Chris D. Spears on February 21st. The shooting occurred during a teenage gathering at Holly's parents' home. While in the basement with several other teens, Spears made some sexual suggestive remarks about Holly's sister. Holly took offense to the remark and retrieved a shot-off shotgun from his room. Holly confronted Spears with the gun, but other teens intervened before it got out of control. Holly took the gun back to his room. A short time later, Spears went to Holly's room and grabbed the gun. He returned to the basement and shot Holly in the face. Holly died moments later. Holly's family members are confused about how the incident escalated to the point of murder. They considered Spears a close friend to the family. Spears has been charged with second-degree murder.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if you guys ever heard the saying, don't pull it unless you're going to use it.
Okay. He
so
used
he pulled,
it.
Wow. Yeah, he pulled out the gun. No, he didn't use it. Holly pulled out the gun on him, went and put the gun back, and then the dude went and got the gun and shot him with it.
And now he's going to the penitentiary for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
No, more than that.
He might go for the rest of his life.
He get 20 years.
He might get 25, 30 years.
He gonna go to jail and get passed around like a pack of cigarettes.
Yep. Yep. All over our humbug. And the thing is that you know this gun violence, man, is insipid. I was watching this thing on Chicago. This Chicago documentary. It looks like they're trying to make this guy be president, but. You're talking about a war zone, man. What is going on with all this murder?
Okay, hold it. Are you changing the direction where we are?
No, I'm just commenting on the fact that gun violence is prevalent and kids seem to gravitate quickly to getting the gun. Well, we used to, you know, put them up and whoop somebody's ass. Kids now want to take the final solution to a temporary problem.
Right, and that's the sad part about where we are. In this country, I thought you were going to talk about Croatia or something. I don't know. Maybe I heard something wrong. Or Ukraine. I thought, yeah, but okay.
You know
I'm
when
sorry,
it comes,
you
know when it comes to the show, Jay's like music. You know, music soul child. Don't change, nigga. Don't change.
Music soul, Jay.
No, but I agree with you, Joe. We really, you know, but. It ain't young people that done this. It ain't just happened. This is America. You know, it's just that now, you know, I mean, white folks always had guns. And they used to use them. And they used to use them on us. They've been violent. This is a violent country. This country's been violent from the beginning. A lot of violent people came to this country from Europe and from other parts
yes.
of the world. As a matter of fact, this was a dumping ground for those people.
Yes, it was.
You know, so a lot of people think that, you know, our forefathers were all these good people. Some of our forefathers were bad people in the countries that they came from. And they came
Malcolm
here and rebuilt their lives and, you know, on the backs of other people.
Yeah.
And the reason why they call Indians, Native Americans that are really, and now they call them Native Americans, but they weren't even Native Americans because they were native to this land. And this land wasn't America. But when Christopher Columbus first landed, he thought this was India.
Wow.
And that's why he called them Indians. So he really hit America by happenstance. White folks ain't as smart as they want you to think they are.
that's not funny. That's true.
That's the truth.
You know, what's really amazing is this. You know, if the Native Americans
Indians are Native Americans. What are the people that are born in America now? We're not Native Americans? Why is that? Why is that a separation? Why is that?
Because they were native to this land. We weren't native. Yeah. We're not native to the land. You know, their ancestors are native to this. Our ancestors are native to this country. We were from someplace else.
So we're from like Europe and Africa.
Africa, right? So we're not natives. We're not, you know. I mean,
our heritage,
we're born
is
here
not,
for sure.
Yeah, what, you know. See, that's all confusing. That's all so they could like keep you all screwed up and what, you know. What are you? I don't know. I'm here. That's what I am. Are we not American? Yeah.
Are we not, man? We are Devo, D-E-V-O. A lot of y'all don't know that. And I know you guys are surprised that I do. That's because I'm a musical connoisseur.
Jay King's News Reel.
Authorities confirm gospel singer Marvin Sapp as the primary suspect in the case of missing doctor. Now, you guys know we've been going back and forth with this. And there's two different reports.
Wow.
One says that he's not a suspect. Another says he is. Grammy-nominated gospel singer Marvin Sapp claimed he was forced to file a protection order against missing doctor Talika Patrick after she showed up at his church, sent him scores of letters, and contacted his children. But now authorities have confirmed that he's their primary suspect. And he's officially being investigated due to lies and inconsistencies in his statement. Authorities are confident that Sapp had an affair with Patrick. They also believe that when they find the body, they'll have enough evidence to bring official charges against Sapp. Investigators find it interesting that Sapp claims to have been stalked by Patrick for over a year, but never made any 911 calls to police prior to filing the order of protection. Authorities believe there's foul play on the part of Sapp, but need to find the body to strengthen their case. Talika Patrick of Kalamazoo, Michigan, went missing on December the 5th, just 3 months after Sapp filed his order of protection and haven't been seen since. Sapp claimed that Talika Patrick sent him more than 400 love letters. However, several witnesses claim to have seen Sapp with Patrick on more than one occasion. Authorities are also suspicious of the fact that Sapp filed a protection order in September, some 3 months before the 30-year-old doctor vanished. The stalking had gone on for at least a year, Sapp said. In at least one instance, Patrick even professed that Sapp was her husband, according to the order. In a statement to the station Thursday, Sapp said, "As a father of three and a pastor of one of the largest congregations of West Michigan, I cannot take this kind of obsession lightly." Patrick's abandoned 2012 Lexus was found with a flat tire by a highway in Portage, Indiana, about 100 miles away. Authorities in Kalamazoo and Indiana are searching for her, and so far the case was being treated as a missing person. In one video titled "Surprise," final video, she shows off a breakfast table set for two, pointing to a plate of veggie bacon, tomatoes, and an omelet. She says, "If you were here, this would be your plate." Patrick posted a YouTube video in which she lovingly prepared breakfast for her baby, but friends and family says she's referring to an ongoing affair she was having with Sapp. On the night she was last seen, Patrick tried to check into a hotel only a few miles from her apartment, but left without getting a room. Authorities believe Sapp had arranged to meet her there. In a statement on Thursday, Patrick's parents said they believed wholeheartedly that their daughter has encountered some harm and danger and strongly believe Sapp is complicit. Talika is missing, and we are urging Mr. Sapp to come forward and admit his involvement.
You know what, Jay? If Phil Spector can do it, if Phil Spector can get involved with a situation like that, why not Marvin Sapp?
Because he's a preacher.
Hey,
Phil Spector get off?
No, yeah, he got off. He got off in the cell. He
right,
gets off in
exactly.
the cell every day. He ain't never getting out.
Did they lock him up?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
what happened when you get convicted.
I didn't know he got convicted.
Yeah, he killed a white woman. That's a no-no.
Jay King,
I always believed he was twerking her from day one. I believed it. Because she ain't going to slice
her. What made you think that? What made you think he was doing it?
Because all of the deranged stuff that she was doing to him, man, slicing his tires, showing up, you know, doing all that
kind of
crazy
stuff. No. Nobody says she sliced his tires. We've never reported that his tires were sliced.
Okay.
You just threw that in.
I never seen a report that said she sliced his tires. Now,
well,
are you telling me? Are you telling me that there's a report out there that she sliced his tires?
I'm trying not to mix the noise up. I'm trying to. But listen, Jay. I believed it when you first said it, because
question to you is: have you heard a report where she sliced his tires? Because I have never heard that report. I mean, if there is, I want to know. Because somebody slicing my tires, they might come up missing.
Okay.
That's just an FYI.
She coming up missing because he doesn't want her coming up to his church spreading his business. He's a single man. She's probably fine. She probably she was probably one of his side pieces, man. You know, and he was hitting it, and she was getting too close.
But why kill a woman though? I mean, what? Why?
And so why in the middle of the show? Is why in the middle of the show am I getting a text from Carl telling me to tell the Como Se Llamas to put the couch in the alley? Because, he can't do it. Let me go ask Carl. Let me go talk to him.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Oh, what you, you can't do it. I got to do it. I'm doing a radio show.
You know what? You don't
have to talk Como Se Llama. All you got to do is you a white man. You guys got all kind of power.
I do everything.
You know what, Paul? Did you go out there and you talk to them the way y'all did, the way you stole the property from them? It's the same thing. You know, white folk tripped me out. Now all of a sudden, don't try to. Carl's lips ain't got bigger since he's been around. You need to call in, but go talk to the Comos. You tell the Comos.
How come I have to do everything?
Because you're white, Carl. White people, you got this is a responsibility of.
They're scared of you.
Well, they need to look just like a white man. Yeah, but they're scared of you. They're not scared of me. Let me talk to them. Hold on. Look, the white man always get what he wants. Luis! How you doing?
Yeah, man. How you doing, man?
Luis.
Yeah, man.
Is it possible those the couch that I have out in the backyard?
Uh-huh.
Can you put it in the alley?
In the alley?
Yeah.
Which side?
Just on the side of just like
this side. Or that side?
This side. Thank you. The yard looks beautiful. Yeah, cuz I don't want it.
You want, right?
No. If you know somebody that wants it, they can have it.
No,
it's a bunch of, it's the, I'll show you. No, you can throw all of them away. The whole thing, I don't want them. Okay, you guys, right now my yard is clean because Luis is here, but I'm going to tell you right now, the wind is going to blow. Yeah, the wind is going to blow. These, they're not, all of them, they're not that heavy. It's just, and if you know anybody that wants this right here, come here. If you know anybody that wants this, they can have
it. I want it.
Yeah, King J, I want it, man. You had nice furniture in your house, man.
You guys gonna
pay for shipping?
Yeah, I want a King J for my new studio I'm having built.
Well, you can't have it, Robert.
Why
I'd
not,
rather,
King J?
Alley,
you got nice stuff, man. Even your leftovers.
The alley, trust me, this couch right here is so ratty. It's why I had to get a new one. It was just ridiculous. Carl's sitting
sitting on it, farting and pooping, putting all that white man juice in it. Now, hey, Luis has been working at this house for 20 years. Can you imagine that? Same guy.
That's wow. A nice couch.
Wow.
That says a
I
lot
like
about
that couch, Jay.
That couch was ratty and old. Come cut it.
No,
out.
It was nice, King. I just seen it last year. It's nice.
How can you see the couch, Simi?
Because Simi can't see it. Simi is all the way in San Diego driving
I'm
out
mute,
here.
And I don't want to hear it, man. I'm on mute. I'm on the road, and I'm just trying to be as quiet as possible. But I dug the couch, man. It was a great couch, Jay. You know? It was.
Yeah, it was a nice couch, King Jay.
You know? What's going on?
I think you got rid of one of the pieces, Gina said. You got one rid of the pieces, and, you know, but, you know, when we came back, it looked new, didn't it?
Kind of? Well, no, it's done.
Yeah, same couch.
Oh, it's over with. It's over, okay? It's over. It's moving. It's out in the alley now. They're putting it in the alley as we speak.
King Jay, are you changing the furniture because you got a hit song on the charts? Is that why?
Yeah, Robert. Robert, that's something that you would do. And you and I are different from the undergarment on up.
We're both Aquarius.
Carpe diem. I'm doing fine, told you I'd be alright, on my way to better days. I'll friend and say it now, I'm beautiful and proud, I am
be all right. That Seize the Day from the Carpe Diem album, because everything's going to be all right. I actually play that song at least once a day when I'm here, Lynn, because it lifts up my spirits. Whew. Now I'm going to tell you how cold white folks eat.
Were you dancing?
Yeah, I was.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing an ass kicker.
Well, the Queen Karen wouldn't want you to do that, King Jay.
No. That's not Luis's job to move furniture, right?
Right.
So I'm like, you know, while the music is playing, I'm up here, I'm dancing, I'm having a good time, I'm watching them take my stuff. And when she say, put your hand to the sky, I got my hands to the sky. I'm thanking God. I'm like, wow, this is my life, right? And while I'm doing all that, God is like, you a cold cat. I'm like, what'd I do? He like, so you got the dude doing an extra job. You know, at least look out for him the way you want somebody to look out for you. So I went, so I give him 20 bucks. You know, what 20 bucks is today, Lynn?
About
like $2.
10 cents.
Yeah, like $2. But, you know, but I just wanted to say thank you to him. So I go to Carl. I say, hey, Carl, you got $10? You know, because, hey, you know, 10 apiece. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to just pick it up by myself, because white folks, they'll make you do that. And guess what Carl do? Just like white folks, just start complaining.
He leaves the building.
Hold on, wait a minute. Dockski!
What's going on? We got sunshine today, man. I'm happy.
I'm loving it, brother. What's going on? I got it this time. DLW. What's up, my brother?
Come here, player.
No, hold on. He said DLW. DLW is not here today. He just left.
Out of here, man.
Yeah.
Let me just go. Bye. I heard him earlier. What's up, Simi?
He put himself on mute. He can't get you.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Robert Redwine. What's up, big dog?
Hey, dog. We got a problem, Houston. These guys got the devil in their butt. Everybody except Lady T.
Oh, speaking of which, hey, Lady T, girl. What's happening, sexy?
Good morning. How are you?
I love you. And, of course.
Very much.
Lily. What's up, cousin preacher?
What's happening now, Darky Dark? And I got a question for Robert Redwine. If we have, you know, the devil in our butts, what does Lady T have in hers?
Go ahead, Lady T.
You can answer that, honey.
No. You answer it.
Well, I'm the gentleman that I am. I'm not going to disrespect this lady.
You couldn't have said nothing? You couldn't have said nothing?
Well, no. In other words, speak as lady
queen.
To lady.
And
speaking
so clean.
Lady to lady, he's not going to say nothing.
Oh, yeah, babe. Honey, hush.
All righty, then. What's up, my favorite morning crew, man? You know what? You talk about Steve the Daylight Skin. You know what, man? It makes my day when I can call in here and talk to some of my favorite people in radio, man. It just warms my damn heart. It really and truly does.
Well, we like when your heart is all warmed up. Ooh, Dark Skin, you missed a good show last night on the music business. I had Gary Taylor, Lee Michaels, and Michael Cooper on the show, and we were discussing if black artists were being pushed out of urban music.
Black artists are being pushed out of urban music. That's interesting. I didn't know the show came on a Monday. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it comes on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Oh.
Every Monday and Wednesday night.
I got something to listen to on Monday nights then. Okay, I didn't know that. See, I don't have nothing to listen to on Monday. Now I know. So what was the outcome? So what was the verdict? What did you guys think? What happened?
Well, Donald Grammer thought that, no, it wasn't.
Is Donald here? What's up, Donald? If you, I'm sorry.
Donald's not here right now, but when he was on the show, he said, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. They're being pushed out. I hear a lot of urban music.
God damn.
I don't believe that. I you know, so some people said no, some people said yes. But what was interesting was the way people viewed it. Of course, black artists are being pushed out of urban music when you start looking at a certain demographic, when you start looking at, you know, what urban music is and how it's being formulated. Black people are being pushed out and white people are being put in. And that's if we stay the normal course, that's what's going to happen. The wonderful thing about the business is you don't have to stay the normal course. You know, people don't see the value in what we do yet. And those that do, and when I say we do, I'm talking about internet radio and what we stand for and how we, we're building these audiences from scratch.
Yeah.
Some of these people that are listening to our shows have listened to them from the inception of them. Some of the people
true.
Have come on. Oh, you know, some of the people, I see a lot of guests in the chat room today. These people might be first-time listeners, or they might listen all the time and just listen in as guests. But
true.
You know, but we've built an audience, and we continue to build audiences. And as the world turns and things change, you know, internet radio is going to be the future. Not only that, everybody from everywhere, from anywhere in the world, can find you, and then tune into you and spread the word. And you just don't know how it happens. That's the beauty in this internet. You know, I'm looking at all these offers I'm getting for Karen White right now for a record that was released 2 years ago, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She gets more offers today than she did 2 years ago because it takes a minute. And I remember I used to tell Karen all the time, hey, it takes 1,000 impressions for people to respond to you.
Right.
And while I know she heard me, I don't think she heard me.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, anybody hears that. You know, before you couldn't take a record and, you know, you couldn't break a record for 2 or 3 years and then it becomes a hit. That was unheard of. The business that we come from, you can't do that. But in today's business, that can actually happen, and it is happening. You know, in the business we came from, when you released a single, that was it. The record was released, and, you know, no get back. In today's world, we released That Ain't Love in October, the single. You know, but we release it to internet radio, and we release it to Southern Soul radio stations. We didn't go for contemporary radio until February.
But the other, you know, the other part of that too, Light Skin, is though. But you think about internet radio, and you talk about, you know, 2 years ago releasing the Karen White single. You know, listen, man, this stuff lives out here forever. You have people who are listening to your show for the first time, and they're going to go back and say, oh, my God, what have I been missing? They're going to go back and listen to old episodes. So that stuff is out there forever. You know what I'm saying? So it may seem new. It's old to us, but somebody, it's brand new because they're hearing it for the first time, you know, on the J. King Network. So, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, so I'm excited about, you know, about the possibilities. I'm excited about the fact that, you know, that artists are starting to get it, that other artists, it's not just me out here or just a few people that I know, but real artists are starting to get it. You know, I'm on the phone with Ralph Johnson yesterday from Earth, Wind & Fire. You know, after he came in, he came to our show 3 days in a row, he came in. And yesterday he and I were speaking, and I said, Ralph, you guys blew it. You know, why did you guys do that? You made a perfectly great Earth, Wind & Fire album, but people don't know about it because you guys did one round of PR and you thought that was enough. It's not enough. It's continual. It's always. You have to always be doing it. You know, I just got another offer for Karen for Knoxville, Tennessee. You know, I'm going back and forth with these people. You know, we're gonna work it out. If they want to do it, they're going to do it the way I want it done, or it's not going to get done. But we're going to get it done. You know, we're going to get it done because, you know. Anyway, what do you think about this Justin Bieber thing, man? I think they need to get off this guy's noggin. Leave him alone.
Man, he's a clown, man. You know, look,
he's 18, dark skin. He's 18.
Yeah,
come on, man.
But he's trying to get street cred, man. He's trying to be all hard, man. You know,
like any 18-year-old that lost his way, that don't know what he's doing. You know, I'm disappointed in you. Somebody who's in show business, I'm disappointed.
He's a Canadian.
KJ. I agree. He's a Canadian. Hell. Do that crap in Canada.
You agree with what, Lady T?
I agree with him. I agree with him saying he's trying to get his street credit, and he's just trying to be, you know, like a...
You're on mute for agreeing with him.
PJ, that's not right. That's not right. PJ, that's not right.
Check this out. Check this out, though. Check this out.
Check it out.
Google how many 18 and 19-year-olds got into trouble this year so far. Google how many 18, 19-year-olds, 17-year-olds got into trouble in 2013. You find a whole bunch of them. And you find a whole bunch of them.
Right.
Okay, so what are we saying? So are we saying that we should just – listen, nobody's messing with Justin Bieber. He's messing with everybody else.
No. Justin Bieber right now is doing depositions because some asshole photographer wouldn't get out the way, and his people handled him and got him out the way, and he's suing him.
But that's the life he chose.
Whether I choose the life or not, there's a respect factor that has to be adhered to. Because I'm going to tell you right now.
Get out of my way. Get out of my
way. I'm going to tell you right now. You do something against me. You do something against me. And it's going down.
Get out of my space.
Oh, hot temper light skinned dude. Well, you can't mess with no light skinned brothers, man. No boys.
Exactly.
And they get mad, boy, when they fight. Man, the last time I got in a fight with a light skinned dude, man, I had to kick him in his nuts, man. Because, you know, he was fighting dirty. He was fighting
the king of mean.
Meet me at the club. It's going down.
I'm going to
put on the Vaseline. It's going down.
Oh, yeah, babe. Oh, yeah, babe.
And I can't believe it. I can't even believe that you joining in with that, Lady T, being that you part cracker.
Hey, nobody announced that. Nobody ever even.
This is a song.
I did.
Love.
Yeah.
But it's not a good love. It's not a real love. And if your love sounds like this, then that ain't love. When I work, putting hard days, that's how I keep these bills paid. At my crib, things go my way. Don't give a damn about what your girlfriend say. When I come home, ain't no way in. Should have my dinner on my plate in. Clear the table when my meal is done. And break me off, girl, when I want some.
Girlfriend, don't let them bullshit like that.
That ain't love.
You pay your own bills, got your own car, got your own grip, you got it like that.
Love.
He can cook and serve his own damn meals. If you don't, some other trick will. Walk away with your girlfriend. Better yet, you better run to that love.
See, in my house, that's how it's gotta be. Knew I was thugging when you met me. So you know that I don't play around.
Well, I know that.
Girl, don't make me put my Mac hand down.
You better step.
If you want me to be real with you,
yeah, real.
You better do the things I tell you to. So don't be tripping, just respect
you
me
gotta, I'm
cause
respect.
In my house that's how it's gotta be.
Girlfriend, trying to run a game on you.
That ain't love.
Now rules from the old school, trying to make a claim on you.
That ain't love.
Bad boys ain't nothing but trouble. Your mama
listen here, ain't no talk back. Ain't got no time for no tit for tat. Girl, you know I'm where your place is at. So you better recognize that. See, I'm a player from the old school. And in my house it's just the same old rule. So don't be tripping, just respect me. Cause in my house that's how it's got to be. You love me, baby. I've been good to you.
I still hear the reason for you.
That Ain't Love from the upcoming Consciousness album. The single is available at iTunes right now.
Mm-hmm. That Ain't Love.
Awesome, King J.
I love it. I love it.
Great, great
love
tune,
it.
King J. Great tune.
Darkskin,
yeah,
do you play it on your,
one of my favorites.
Do you play it on your show every Wednesday, Darkskin?
You know, man, Saturdays are light skin. You know, we don't really play music unless we do a listener lounge. But see,
so basically, I can't get nothing.
You can do whatever you want, bro. Hey, man, look, I just got back from Scotland, man. Why you coming at me like this, light skin? I thought we was down like 4 or 5 times, man. Why you coming at me?
Let's be in rotation.
Damn, I haven't seen you, and I've been listening to you on the damn show. Okay, damn.
What if the Bible is not an accurate combination of page worthiness? You know, one part of the Bible, and this is not the exact wording, but turn the other cheek, which I gather to be, if someone violates you, instead of rising against them, give them something else of you to spoil or take advantage of. Then, in another portion of the Bible, it says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Which means if a person cuts you, you cut them back. If a person beats you up, you do the same to them. Then you get into the New Testament, Old Testament debate. Isn't this a platform for confusion? Thus I say unto you, why don't all of the Bible users, readers, believers get together and solve this instead of whether or not gay marriage, whether or not marijuana, whether or not health insurance, to abort or not to abort, and so on? Why don't we fix the foundation and start from there? Or are we all happy with the inconclusions? Stop and think about all we are going through. God is the reason you are hearing this right now. Amen.
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 That
was perfect for me. Perfect for me.
Perfect.
I'm turning the other cheek. And it's an eye
for an
eye.
We're not talking about what you do in a dance floor. And those clubs is not what we're talking about.
We're doing it in the glass room tonight.
Yeah, you can do that tonight.
We have some verbal rapability about love language.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah,
baby. The language of love tonight, you guys, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the J. King Network in the Glass House with Lady T and Ulysses Braxton,
ooh,
better known as San Diego Simi.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Oh, glass house. I like that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I want you guys to know, Lynn, today I'm going to take my driver's test.
Whoa.
You didn't have license?
Oh, you don't have no license, bro?
I lost my license a while back. I couldn't find them.
Oh, damn.
And so,
hey. What time?
Huh? 11 o'clock. Why you coming?
Take the driver's test.
11 o'clock. Why you coming over? You need to drive. You can drive me, so I don't have to. Okay, then drive me, because I don't want to drive.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I'm coming over, man.
Okay,
then
get here on time.
Maybe you should practice.
So it's a written test. It's a written test.
Oh.
Darkness.
Oh. Oh,
it's not the driving test.
Like damn.
It's a written driver's test.
Yeah, I got to do the same thing, Jay.
Remember,
I got to do the same thing, man.
Okay, everybody can't talk at the same time. What did I tell y'all about that? Go ahead, Darkskin. What were you saying?
No, I was laughing, man, because you said I got to get my license test. I'm like, huh? Wait a minute, bro. You don't have a license? Oh, damn. You good, Darkskin?
I don't really drive that much, Darkness.
Hot
I'm not
player,
really
man.
You're really pimp. Driving. I know that, bro. I know. I mean, I wish I could be like you when I grow up, man. I understand. So you're getting your license, so you have to take an eye test and everything, right? You have to do the whole thing?
I just got to
no.
I just got to take – it's a driver's test. I just got to take the written test, and then that's it.
Okay. All right, bro. Good luck. Good luck with that.
I've been supposed to do this a long time ago, but I just, you know.
Well, you have a blessed day.
What did you say, Lady G? What if we start calling Lady G? What if we start changing just alphabets?
Exactly.
Like, you know, like Lady A, Lady B, Lady C. You know,
okay.
Every day just
that's because
lady.
You guys don't deal with consistency.
Say that then.
It's funny. That's funny.
Light skin, I want
to. Robert, why are you breathing real hard like you're about to have sex with yourself right now?
Oh, King J, I don't know why. Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, Lord. Wow.
Did you
just
call me up all the phone?
You're going to have sex with yourself. I don't want to hear it, so you on mute.
Oh, my Lord. Light skin, man, real quick, I want you, bro, for stepping in, man, and stepping up with my boy, Mr. Elias, bro, on Wednesdays, man. You know, God bless. I appreciate you doing that. I'm serious.
Oh, man, you know, Mr. Elias is my man. You know, that's my partner right there. And Dr. Princess Nodelia, you know, I want to know. Nodelia. How does she either? Well, you know, she's your Robert Red Wine. The same way
yes.
Robert continues to ease himself back into Kings in the Morning.
Yeah.
She eases herself back.
You know,
right back into the Jay Ryle show, man.
I don't know, bro. You know,
every time I think you've kicked her out, here she come again. A thousand words a minute.
I know, man. I know. I thought she was going to get a longer jail sentence, man, but, you know, they didn't help me out. I thought she was going to be behind bars for a couple of years. But, you know, hey, she talked her way out of that damn situation. You know, she told me.
And that's exactly, you know what? And she did just that. What's that? What happened now?
They put her out. They said, look, we had enough of you. You are gone. They went to the judge and said, look, Your Honor, you got to get her out. The damn prison guards, bruh, went and said, get her out of this damn jail.
Not now, but right now.
Yes, because she talks too damn much. She's singing in prison. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Talking about, I'm so happy to be here, going to be here all my life. I'm so happy to be here, going to find myself a wife. Happy, just happy, happy. I'm so happy, going to be here for the rest of. And they was like, no, you not. She found herself singing the happy song outside the prison walls. They said, hell to the no.
Hey, Mr. Elliott, you can kiss my ass. That's all I'm going to say about that. Just send me a message. Oh, you dirty bastard. Anyway.
What did Mr. Elliott say?
I can't say. I got to tell you off there. That's a sorry sound. I can't stand that black bastard. Oh, man, I can't stand you, Mr. Elliott. Hear my words.
Yeah. Dr. Princess was singing. Dr. Princess was so happy. She thought she was in jail for the. She thought she was there. She just met a new girl named Mitch too.
Mitch. Mitch the Mitch. What's that?
That's my Mitch.
Yo.
That's
oh,
my
damn.
Mitch.
Oh, man.
I can't wait for Dr. Princess to ease on through here again.
You got to love it, though, bro.
You see what I did?
What
you know what, Carl? Did you just say nigga and run out of this room?
What?
Who?
Did you? Oh, my God. He got a banana. You know what, Carl? You ain't nothing. Just a cracker. Just all cracker whack. Deep down inside, I'm going to tell you guys what Carl. I heard Carl in the room the other night. I walk on the other side of the house, and Carl was praying, dear God, please let my lips poke out. Please, God, let me be black. Lord, I just want to dangle for a day. Amen.
That is so
okay, you guys,
around.
My name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis. Mr. DLW, San Diego Simi, and Lady T telling you to get busy living because you're going to have enough time dying. Of course, Dark Skin is in the house. We out of here, y'all. Go have